There's a popular saying among the older generation in our country that has a measure of truth to it, and the saying is, there are two things in life that you can't avoid. Those things are, you could probably say them in your head, death and taxes. And on three different occasions, I had dealings with the IRS. They were after me. That was quite an adventure. In the first experience, they said I owed a lot of money, but I didn't. The bank made a mistake, so I was off the hook for at least another year. Second experience was I was on the phone with them for an hour and a half. They had me on hold, and my ear was getting sore. But eventually, I talked with a representative, and they weren't able to help me. So that was frustrating. And the third time, they sent more money to me than I was expecting. So we thank the Lord for His mercy in regards to taxes. And in regards to death, however, none of us will be able to change what will happen in terms of our appointment with death. We won't be put on hold. We won't be able to negotiate our way out of it. It's an appointment that we will keep under the providence of God. God's Word says it's appointed for a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And God's Word says death is the destiny of every person. The living should take this to heart. In other words, we should think about that, because that'll give us wisdom. That'll give us a heart that fears the Lord when we think about our own mortality, that death is the destiny of every person. I would guess that our priorities in life and how we feel about the Lord, how we feel about people would change greatly if we would consider the end of our days. If you talk to people in nursing homes, they don't talk to you much about different accomplishments or things in their life. They talk about the people important to them. They talk about struggles with faith. They talk about church, they talk about worship, talk about the Lord, all the things that are really important in the long run. So death helps us straighten out our hearts in a great way. Death and life are opposite extremes in the Bible and in our experience. R.C. Sproul tells a story of when his son was born, just the life that it added to the family. He said that particular day, after things settled down, he went to go to his mom at the hospital, drove her, who was away from the hospital, brought her to the hospital, and wanted her to see her grandson. So she went and visited, and it was just a time of delightful sharing and those kind of things. So he took his mom home, dropped her off at the apartment, and said, "Good night, Mom. Thanks for sharing in this day." And she said, "Son, I want you to know this is the happiest day of my life." And she went in to her house, went to sleep, and quietly died. And her life was gone. And that was something nobody would have thought of that particular day. And then Sproul said, he said, "You know, in a way, that's the way all of us probably would like to die, in the midst of a time of thankfulness and praise to God. And we lay down and go to sleep, and there's no pain. And we wake up, and we're in heaven by the grace of God." But none of us gets to choose that. The Lord chooses that for us. And the Bible talks about death not in terms of the specifics of how we're going to die a lot. It doesn't even make a big deal about how Paul died or Peter or Moses. You know, no specifics in terms of, for us, will it be an accident? Will it be a heart attack? Those things aren't very important, it doesn't seem like. But for the Lord, He talks a lot about whether a person dies in the faith, knowing and following Christ. Do they die in the faith, or do they die in their sins? The Bible talks a lot about that. Huge difference in the results. Die in the faith, die trusting Christ. Uses that phrase when it talks about Moses and Abraham. Or die in their sins. Die in the faith and go to be with Christ, because you know Him in this life. Die in your sins. That's because apart from God, in this life, apart from God in eternity. Huge difference between what happens to us in that way. And it speaks of the long term of a relationship when someone dies in the faith. You think of Moses and Abraham, the ups and downs of their lives. And yet, they walk with the Lord till the end. Anybody could follow Jesus for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Or for 10 days or so. You know, get excited about the Lord for a short time, that's great. But to follow Him every day, living in the faith, that's good news. It's good news for those who know Christ. And so God puts that before us when He thinks of the finish line, to run the race, to keep our eyes on Jesus. And the Bible says, take it to heart. Most of us live with a little bit of healthy fear of death. Someone said the fear of death keeps us from killing our bosses when they're having a bad day. Because we think, then I'll have to face my own mortality if I take things into my hands. Hebrews chapter 2 says that we're held captive to the fear of death until Jesus comes into our heart. We're always looking over our shoulder. Is it today? Is it this week? Is it this year? Is it going to happen to me? It's in the Lord's hands. The Christians were asked, what's one of the most comforting passages in the Bible? What do you turn to when your heart is troubled? Some said Psalm 23. Some said John 3:16. Those who believe in Christ have eternal life. Most people picked John chapter 14. A place to turn for comfort for their own souls, for their concerns, for their loved ones. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. How great is that? A place prepared by Christ so we could go and be with Him forever. Turn there often and follow the Lord in that passage. And you and I, without Christ, we live in the land of the shadow of death, where death is a shadow for us. And we try to hold off death as long as possible. I think all of us do. Find the right doctors, eat the right foods, collect things around me so maybe I feel more secure, you know, if I have all these things around me. We have an appointment with death, and none of that we do is going to change that appointment. And even the smaller but significant losses that we have, they're like small death experiences, loss of a dream, loss of a friend, loss of a job, maybe loss of health, are reminders to us that the big death is coming. The big death is coming, and we cannot escape it. And God wants us to look at that. The living should take this to heart. But what if someone came along and defeated the power of death on your behalf? I mean, really defeated the power of death on your behalf? Your eyes would get pretty wide and say, what? You mean someone conquered death for me so that I wouldn't have to fear that anymore? Who is that? I would like to trust that one. I would like to follow that one. It would be a life-changing experience. That person would change the way you live. Probably every day your life would be different. Because all of a sudden, someone conquered death on your behalf. Your life would be full of faith, courage, right priorities, to live free and fearless. You know, that would be a real gift from God. Who could do that for us? As a child, I used to play Monopoly with some friends in the summertime on rainy days when we couldn't play ball. And the way I played Monopoly was really a microcosm of life for me. I would do very well at the beginning, and I gathered all the cash I could. If you play Monopoly, you try to get that, and a little bit of property. But then as time went on, the other people had the property, and everything that I thought was near and dear, those 500s and 100s and 20s, they would be gone, you know. They're gone, they're going, gone. And then I was out, and I had nothing. Those hours of investing, my precious afternoon was for loss, not empty hands. You know, the Bible says, without Christ, we're born with nothing. We leave with nothing. You just sense the emptiness of your own hands. You leave with nothing. Do you want to live your life filling your hands with things that eventually they're not going to be there? They're not going to be there. And Christ would come and say, I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though they die, they will live. And anybody who lives and believes in me will never die. Something about the Lord that can even conquer the death of my own soul or spiritual walk with Him. He could do what I cannot do. And will you die in your faith? Or will you die in your sins? Trust in Christ. C.S. Lewis said, live for heaven, trust in Christ, and you get earth thrown in. All of a sudden you become more alive. When you face death, you say, by the grace of God, I know how to die well. Trusting the Lord with Him on my mind and on my heart. At peace with God, at peace with life, at peace with others, all consecrated to Him. Or do you die in your sins, not knowing? Well, I went for the gusto in this life. Does that count? It counts for nothing apart from God. Do we die in our sins, or do we die with faith in Christ, living with Christ? I know a man in seminary, everybody wanted to take his classes because people understood he really knew the Lord. He was filled with Christ's life in a simple way. He used to have a saying, as a Christian, you outlive, you outlove, and you outdie the world. Only by the grace of God. Christ's life in you just kind of surrender to Him, and all of a sudden, free to face life, free to face eternity with the help of God. And the only way to know purpose for life is to trust God for salvation today, if you haven't done so. He's life for you. Face the end of the road. Someone compared it to being in a chess game and not knowing how to experience checkmate. Why are you moving your pawns around? This looks good for today. But every move is to be made in reference to Christ, the first and the last. And now you have a direction. Now you have a confidence in Him. And He'll give that to us through His love, through His strength. There's a true story of a little girl who survived a plane crash in 1987. Her name was Cecilia. And in a plane crash near Chicago, Illinois, out of 155 passengers, 154 perished in the plane crash. And this little girl, 4 years old, she survived. And at first, after the crash, people didn't think she was on the plane because she was wandering around. And they thought maybe she was from one of the houses nearby that was affected. But they checked the passenger list, and sure enough, she was on that plane. And they find out how she survived. When the plane was going down, her mother took off her own seatbelt and grabbed onto her daughter and held on and would not let go through the fierceness of the wreckage and the you know, experience of that. And the Lord tells us in His Word that He holds on to us like that. He doesn't let us go. So neither death nor life, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all of life can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Christ would hold on to you like that. For this week, for the day of your appointment, when it's over, but the new life with Christ continues on. And what a gracious God for Him to conquer death for us. I'm comforted, and it's a privilege to comfort other families, to know that Jesus went through death first. He's standing there with you at the point of death, holding your hand through the door of death forever with Him. And your testimony can be like the Apostle Paul. Remember, it's dying in your sins or dying in the faith. Paul said when he faced the end of his own life, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You could say that today about your life by the grace of God. I'm fighting the fight. I'm finishing the race. I am in the race. I am keeping the faith. Would you be that kind of Christian by the grace of God. And if you're not sure you're right with God, you face the finish line with great uncertainty. You could surrender to Christ today and maybe pray a prayer that Jesus prayed at the cross. As He physically surrendered His life to God, you can spiritually surrender your life to God. Pray what Jesus prayed quietly, just knowing He'll be your Savior. Jesus prayed, "Lord, into Your hands I commit my spirit." That's what He prayed. I hope by God's grace we're all conscious enough and alert enough in our last days, you know, to be able to pray something like that. Maybe for us it'll be, well, this is like the happiest day on earth for me, because I'm going to be with my Lord. Lord, into Your hand I commit my spirit. And you'll know salvation, and you'll be able to live well because you know how to die well. Dying in the faith. Could you be that way as a child of God? And let's pray as we prepare for communion together.